Welcome to the third installation of Hidden Treasures of the Midrash. And basically what we do here, we just take a look at a few Midrashim. Sometimes they are many puzzling Midrashim. Some of them have you see a running theme in Chazal. We're here, we'll keep it short and just do a couple of interesting points, but just to see the way Chazal word things and the code. You know, Midrash has a reputation, I think, of being a little bit childish, right? And especially some of the stories sound incredibly, you know, fantastical and what's going on here, and to really get an understanding and appreciation of what Chazal are trying to tell us. There are different approaches in general of how to understand Midrash, how literally to take each point, and that's discussion in the Rishonim discuss it, the Acharonim discuss it, but we're just going to try to take a look at at least one simple interpretation and points to gain out of some of these Midrashim. I have a few of them in I have notes on several different sources of Midrashim. Should I take a look at one that I have marked off, and hopefully we'll be able to glean something interesting from it. So I have the first one is in Parsha Chaf, Psikta Vav. So we're going to take a look at that. Parsha Chaf, Psikta Vav. We're going to start in Midrash Rabba. Usually we primarily work with Midrash Rabba and Midrash Tanhuma here. So let's take a look. So it says, Vayar Balak Kevan Shabo Shluchav Eitzel Bilam Amrlei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Miha Anashim. Right? So we see in the Pasuk that Balak sent messengers to Bilam. Do we know the basic storyline of Parsha's Balak, right? So Balak sends messengers to Bilam, and Hashem says, "Who are the men?" Amrlei Bilam, Balak ben Zippor, Melech Moav Shalach Elai. He says, "You know, the Balak ben Zippor, the king of Moab, sent him to me." So, what are we thinking when we see Hashem ask such a question? Miha Anashim, what's our immediate question? Our thoughts? What's on our minds? Right. So Hashem is asking the question. And what do you glean from Bilam's response? He says, first of all, he's answering the question. Right, why is that funny? Right, because presumably, God, being God, knows. That's part of being God. You know things. Right, so he presumably is asking rhetorically, and he's giving a response. And not only is he giving a response, what does he say? He doesn't just say Balak sent him, but rather Balak ben Zippor, Melech Moab. He's giving him like more details, and it sounds like he's even like, you know, priding himself on it. Amar Abba Bar Kahana, Ze Aleph Megimel. Right, this is one of three times where Bnei Adam Shebodkan HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or sorry, not three times, Zahav Megimel Bnei Adam Shebodkan HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where there were three people that Hashem searched them out, Umatza Karon Shel Meiraglayim, and he found a Karon of Meiraglayim. So Meiraglayim is urine. Right, it's a euphemism, water of the legs, it means it's a reference to urine. And it says a Karon. A karon, the Mefarshim seem to say a karon. Does anybody know what that is? A karon? Right, so a karon is like some sort of washing cup, maybe a bathtub, a surface of a washing cup. So they found, right, so they Hashem searched them out, and what did he find? He found a washing cup, an tisidaim cup of urine. Okay. Kayin Chizkiyahu Ubilam. Kayin Chizkiyahu and Bilam. So does anybody think of a connection to Kayin or Chizkiyahu, but Kayin? To what we just had with Bilam?
Yeah.
Yeah. Excellent. And what does he respond? Right. Hashem Merachin. Okay, my brother's keeper. You're asking me. I don't know. Like, sorry, God. I wish I could help you, but I can't. I don't know. You don't call a missing camper. I don't know. I'm not able to help you. Implying that he took Hashem's question literally, not rhetorically. So Kayin is one of those people, right? So let's see. Kayin b'shosh amar le'akadosh baruch hu, ay hevel achicha, where is your brother Hevel? Bikesh l'hatos. So kaviyachol. He was kind of trying to trick him. Hayat sarach lomar, he should have said, Rabbono sholom, hanistros va'niglos l'fanecha. Guluyos v'at sholani b'shvil achi. What Cain was supposed to say was, Hashem, the revealed things and the hidden things, you know all of them. So you're asking me where my brother is? You should have responded in that way. You should have thought that way and responded differently. Ella amarle lo yadati. I don't know. Amarle HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem says to him, Chayecha, by your life, kach dibarta, kol dmei achicha tzalakim. By your life, so did you speak. The voice of the bloods of your brother are crying out. So we see that Cain called, right? Cain is asked the question, just like Bilam is asked, who are these men? And he says, oh, you don't know Hashem. Let me tell you all about these men. The king sent me these men. And over here we have Cain. Cain, Hashem says, where is your brother? He's like, ah, I don't know. Sorry, you should check over there. I know you like to hang out in the nature shack. Oh, okay. No. So Hashem says, ah, now you're going to suffer. Chizkiah, kishamad mechalyo. When Chizkiah became he was healed from his illness. Story quoted in Malachim. It's also in quoted in Yeshayahu. And Shalach Moradach Baladan, right? Evel Moradach was the king above El. Bo Yeshayahu Amar Lo, and he says basically Chizkiah is giving them. Oh, I skipped a line. Sorry, but basically right. He sends him gifts, and he's showing off his palace and his riches. And possibly even the Kodesh HaKadoshim, according to Chazal, to this Babylonian king. So Yeshayahu says him, Yeshayahu Amar Lo, Ma Amru Anashim Eilat Umayin Yavo Elecha. He said, What do these men say to you? And whom are you? And from where do they come? Meaning Yeshayahu is asking in the name of Hashem, who are these people who came to visit you? What's going on here? Hayetzarach Lomar. He should have said At Navi Shemakom. Should have said, you're a Navi of Hashem. You're of the omnipresent. Veli at Shoel, and you're asking me? El Heskam is Gaia, but he started to pride himself. Chizkiah was Tzadik HaRasha. Tremendous Tzadik. He was one of the greatest kings that we ever had. He had a couple of mistakes. But like relative to most of the kings we've had, especially the kings of Israel, he's the king of Yehuda. He was a tremendous, tremendous Tzadik. Because I'll say he was almost Mashiach. He could have been the Melech HaMashiach. He didn't sing Shira at the proper time, Chazal tells us, but he's a big tzaddik. Here's another one of his mistakes, his few mistakes. But he started to pride himself. Yamar, Me'eretz Rechocha Bo'elai, Mibavel, they came from far away, they came from Bevel. Amar lo Yeshayahu, Yeshayahu said to him, Ho v'kach amar, Tehina yamim bayim, V'nisa eskol asher b'vesecha, mibanecha, asher yetu imecha, yu sirisim v'hecha melech Bavel. Ultimately, your children are going to go down to Bavel. This is going to be a Chorban. Okay. V'chein Bilam HaRasha. Now we get to Bilam HaRasha. You can already figure it out. V'shashashalach Balak Etzlo. When Balak was sent to him, Amar Lei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mi HaNashim Eileim Cha? Hayat Sarach Vomer. He should have said, Rabbanu Shalom, HaKol Galoi Lefanecha. V'ein Kol Dover Ne'elam Imecha. Nothing is hidden from you. Everything is revealed to you. V'li At Shoel. And you're asking me? El Amar Lo. He said, El Amar Lo Balak Metzior Melech Moshe Achilai. Balak ben Tzibor Melech Moav, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ho'el v'kachat v'madaber, since that's how you spoke, Lo Tohor HaSa'am, you're not going to be able to curse nation. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rosh Hashem Olam, wicked person in the world, Ksiv al Yisrael, Ki ha'nogeya b'chem, ki ha'nogeya b'baseino, v'atahodich ligabahem, l'kalalam, there's special things written about Klal Yisrael, and you're going to try to curse them. She's never, right, okay, and then you're blind in an eye, okay. Right, the people that are like the pupil of the eye of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you're going to curse them, you're going to be blind in an eye, and it's called Shusum Ayin. Okay, but now, so let's try to go back to this point, which is that, what did we say, what was it compared to? It was a koron of Miraglayim, right, that Hashem asked them questions, and he found a washing cup of urine. Have you ever heard of such a mashal? Right? Did you ever do something wrong? You're like, oh wow, you're such a washing cup of urine. Anyone ever get, you ever get that in your life? No. What was it saying? What does that mean? So what I believe pshat is over here is that why is Hashem asking these questions? Hashem knows. Well, what's Hashem playing games for? What's the game? What's Hashem trying to do? He's trying to get them to introspect. Good. He wants them to think about what just happened. And then what's the proper response? The Midrash says part of the proper response. First of all, to acknowledge, Hashem, I know you're asking rhetorically. I know you know everything. I know you're here. I know you're hamakom, you're omnipresent, you're everywhere. And then what? What's the next step? What comes after that awareness? Tshuva! Change or something. Admitting you did something wrong. Hashem, you ask, where is Hevel? Where is Hevel, your brother? And I'm not going to say, oh, I don't know. Like, maybe he doesn't know. I don't know, go check over there. Maybe it was somebody else in the world. Like, there is no one else in the world. But figure something out. But that's not what Hashem was trying to do. Hashem wanted him to say, Hashem, I know you know the answer. Ooh. You're probably asking me because I did something wrong. Okay, I admit I did something very wrong, and I'm sorry, and I want to do tshuva, but that's not what he did. And Bilam, so if Bilam's being asked this question, who are these men with you? So Bilam should have realized, Hashem knows the answer, then probably he doesn't just want me to give the answer, right? We know this in our experience, whenever we've done something wrong, and when our parent, our teacher asks us, who did this? You know they know the answer. Did you do this? Did you really do this? You know they know the answer is not yes or no. It's I am so sorry. I am such a fool. I made a big mistake. And fortunately, they missed the boat over here. And I think that's the pshat in the Karon of Meiraglayim. That is that compares it to a washing cup of urine. Because what's the goal of a washing cup? It's not your question. to wash, right? The Mepharshim, whether it's a washing cup or a bathtub, it's an opportunity to be cleansed. Bilam is doing something bad over here. Chizkiyahu, despite being a tzaddik, was doing something wrong. Kayin did something terrible. First murder in world history. But Hashem was giving them an opportunity. He gave them a bathtub. And he said, I'm opening this conversation and fill it up with water and purify yourselves. Clean yourselves. And of course, that's not what happened. And what's worse, so if you go into a bathtub with soap and water, you come out clean, right? You wash your hands with clean water, come out clean. If you go into an empty bathtub or you wash yourselves with an empty washing cup, what happens? Nothing. If you fill the cup or bathtub with urine, much bigger problem on your hands. Right? So where... Oh, literally. Okay, sorry. We're here. This is life we live here. What happened was a washing cup with Meiraglayim in it. That it worked against them because they made bigger fools of themselves. What's worse than not doing tshuva is being given an extra opportunity, and Hashem Himself opening up a conversation to do tshuva and completely turning that away. And that is a Karon Shel Meiraglayim. And it's important for us to try to see in our own lives, to try to find where are the Karonos. Be careful, I don't know what we're talking about. Right, where are the Karonos? Where are the washing cups that were being handed in our lives? What are the opportunities in our lives that Hashem is giving us to be a tikkun for something that we've made a mistake in, that He's giving us an opening, a Pesach, to do tshuva? And sometimes we don't take it and we actually scorn it. And we have a tough situation and a challenge on our plate. And that's really an opportunity to fix a wrong and try to right that wrong. And we use that to distance ourselves even more from Hashem. That the situation you've been given, the question you've been asked, the obstacle placed in front of you is an opportunity that Hashem is giving you to change. And when you scorn that, and when you turn it around, then you're missing opportunity, not just missing an opportunity, but you're creating a Karon Shel Shamei Raglaim, you're filling it with that. So that's the one important Musar point to take out of this, just in a simple lesson that they use of Karon Raglaim. But when you ask these questions and you try to pay attention, like, why are Chazal using certain terms, you really gain a deeper appreciation. Do we have time for one more Midrash? Okay. So things closer to the end, which is, I think, a very, very important and sad one. Okay. So this is in Parsha Chaf, Psikta Chaf Gimel. So it's closer to the end over here. Parsha Chaf, Psikta Chaf Gimel. Still in, yeah. And this is talking about something that takes place at the end of the Parsha. Vayachel Av Liznos El Benos Moav. So this was what happened after the original plan failed. Originally, the plan was to just curse Klal Yisrael. Bilam, Balak, they do their best, and it is ineffective. Every curse that Bilam tries to say, Hashem just gives him nevuah and he speaks brachos. So they instead try to have a different etzah. You're not going to take the spiritual route against Klal Yisrael, meaning you're not going to try to use the power of tefillah and beat Klal Yisrael and have Hashem curse them. That you can't do. There needs to be a reason for them to be cursed. And how do you get Klal Yisrael to be cursed? Make them sin, right? That's a classic trick, right? We say, did we quote it recently? We saw it by Haman, right? Because Haman Achashverosh, part of their plan was to get Klal Yisrael to sin. Ah, right, very good, excellent. Last week's Parsha, right, there's a fascinating Midrash HaChazal quote that the Amalekim disguised themselves as Canaanim because they didn't want Klal Yisrael to daven to fight against the right people. So the Goyim realized, we see this throughout Chazal, that a lot of the Goyim realized the spiritual truth of Klal Yisrael. The power of Klal Yisrael's tefillah. The power of Klal Yisrael's Torah and mitzvot, and that's a magen lahem, that it's a shield for them. So a lot of our enemies throughout the generations have known that, and that's specifically what they attack. We've seen a lot of our enemies, even until recent times, have tried their best to shut down specifically Torah and mitzvot, because that's our protection. So that's what Bilam and Balak plan. And they have the Benos Moav and Yadim to try to seduce Klal Yisrael to sin in the realm of Gilei Raos, but as well as Avodah Zarah, worshipping Baal Peor. So it says, Bore Maksiv v'Yitzias Mitzrayim, Daber El B'nei Yisrael v'Yeshuva y'v'yachnu v'nei Piachiros. So it says, Piachiros, the mouth of freedom, Mahu Piachiros, Makom Kavua, Lizanos, Liznus. That Piachiros is like, it's like a place that was set for Znus, right? For Gilei Raos. And it says, Lefisha Sneo Atman Beitziyasim Mitzrayim Nikra Piachiros. And Ve'elu Shehefkiru Atman La'anashim. And the women, they made the Benos Moav, they made themselves Hefker, as if ownerless to the men, and it caused Klal Yisrael to sin. It goes further and tells us some of the background of what they would do and how they would actually trick them. So what would they do? So they would make these announcements. Asulahem kiloyim v'hoshivu bahem zonos yibidehen kol klei chemda. Right, they would have. They would like have like zonos, right, prostitutes, and in their hands all these valuable merchandise. And they would have elderly women sitting on the like outside of like the storefront. So imagine a marketplace, and on the inside, the inner room, you have these younger zonos on the inside, and on the outer room, you have these elderly women. And then they would have the young girl who was on the inside. So basically, they would announce in the streets that there was a great sale going on. They said, shekel v'chetzi, right, 99-cent store. They said, we have these great bargains. And of course, Klal Yisrael, They're Jewish, right? But great bargains, okay? Great. Well, you have a family to feed, tuitions to pay, kosher food's expensive, especially here in the Midbar, you know, there's nowhere to shop, right? I mean, okay, whatever. You know, so they have to figure out, they have to figure out a way to get them. This is how they do it. They say there's some great deals. So when Klal Yisrael go by, Litzol Chayfetz, Beshuk, Zekena Amereslo, so then the old woman at the storefront, she would say, all right, Sonny, Amereslo, Bachur, Iata rotsa kli pishton shabami beis sha'an. Hey, Sonny, you look like you're somebody who wants clay pishton, like this linen garments that come from beis sha'an. It's like, oh, well, it actually happens to be you seem to have you see somebody with good taste. I do love linen garments from beis sha'an. Who doesn't, right? Especially Hask logo on it. Okay, so v'hayasa marilo, and she would show him v'omerislo, and she would say to him, Hachnis lifnim, v'teira chafetim nayim. She's like, you know, I've got even better merchandise on the inside. Come on the inside, I'll show you the better merchandise. And you know, we know what the better merchandise was. Hazakena omerislo v'yoser v'yalda v'pachos. Right? And then so the young woman would come out. Mikan ve'elech, and then from here on, omerislo, she would say to him, omerislo yalda, the younger woman would say, hariata keben bayis. You are like part of the family, right? A stranger, a Jew is going into like this marketplace of a woman of Moab, and she was like, "Oh, you're like a Ben Bias. You're like one of us. You're part of the family." Barur laatzmacha, but sartzur yayin, right? And monach etzla, va'adayin lo nesar yayin shogayim, right? And so Midrash says that she would say here, have a seat, let me get you some wine. And then the Midrash says, and this is before there was an Isser of drinking Stam Yenam. So, right, the Gemara says, this, right, this, I mean, that was created by Chazal much later on. So this is before you were not allowed to drink wine that was touched by a non-Jew. Nara Yotza Mikoshetes Muvesemes, and then she would come out, right, so she would go back, she would give him some wine, he'd be drinking a little bit, and she'd come back in with lots of jewelry and perfume, mafato, so v'omereslo, and she would try to seduce him, and she would say to him, Loma anu ovim eschem, why is it that we love you, v'atem sonim osanu, but you hate us? So she'd come in, right, he's already had a little bit to drink. She said, you're part of the house, you're part of the family. She comes out all dressed up in jewelry and perfume and fancy clothing, right, or whatever, or not. And then she says to him, she says, why is it that we love you so much and you're so mean to us? You hurt my feelings. Tolach kli zechinam. She says, you know what? Take the stuff for free. Remember what you wanted to buy. Now, right, again. Free, you say? Right, for free. Hello, kulanu b'nei ish echad. We're all, right, we are one. We're one family. B'nei terach avi Avraham. We're all part of Avraham, right? Right, Moav. Where does Moav come from?
Lot.
Lot is the son of Haran, who is the brother of Avraham, son of Terach. So, yeah, we're part of the family. We're part of the Avinu family. Right, Avram Avinu was on the Terach Avinu, but okay, we're on Mishpacha. Ein atem rotzim lechol mizbechosenu. You don't want to eat from our mizbechos, mivishalenu from our food. Hari lanu agolam matarna golam shachdu kimitzasechem kimitzvaschem. We're actually our hechsher is actually perfect. We have we shecht everything according to the way you say. Ve'achlu miad meshkeo yain. She gave us some drink, water to drink. Uboer ba satan, and then the satan would boer. He would like be burning up in the inside. Haya nishteach areha, and he would be like sota, like straight after her. Shneimar zunus v'yain v'tsirosh yikach lev. And then the Midrash says, V'yesh omrim Bilam tziva osam, and Bilam then commanded them, shelo lahashkosam, shelo yadunu kishesuya yayin. There's another opinion, the Midrash says, no, actually Bilam did not give them wine to drink. Why not? Because he didn't want them to be judged like drunk people. Ela kemizidin. He wanted it to be completely intentional. Kevan Shahaya Tova Omerislo, and she would say to him, Eini Nishmas Lacha Ashatishchat Zelib Lipaor. And then when the men would desire the women of Moab, she would say, hold on there, buddy. One thing first. First things first. You have to worship Paor. Vishtachavilo. And he says, no, but I really do want to marry you in the end, but I can't worship Avodah Zarah. And then he would end up doing it. So this is the Midrash. There's a lot of different points to mention, but we see over here that there every single step was done by Bilam and Balak and these Benos Moab, and the Midrash felt the need to mention every single part. That it could be Klal Yisrael were at the level that had there been young, inappropriately dressed women at the front desk of the store in the marketplace, would they have gone? Could be they wouldn't have. No way. No. I know there's a great deal, but I see the way that woman's dressed, and I'm, there's no way I'm going near there. He even didn't want to do Avodah Zarah. He was just so sucked in. And this really tells us a lot about the attempts of the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara will trap you, and he traps you in something that's a very small trap. It's something very innocent. But taking you off focus, even for something as innocuous as just a good deal, but you need to make sure that as soon as you see that even a little bit is off, you stop yourself right there. That as soon as he got to the back room, as soon as he even needed to pursue further and go into the back room, once he's in the back room and he sees that the woman is there, immediately then he needs to shut it down. And at each point, it gets harder and harder, more difficult, more challenging to hold back from falling into the clutches of the Yetzer Hara. It says even here, uboer boas satan, like only at that point, like when the wine is poured. At every step, it was harder to break out, but it could have been done. But they kept going and going until they sinned, and tens of thousands of Jews were killed in a magefa because of this terrible sin that stains our nation's history. And we need to learn what the Yetzer Hara does. He sets up traps, small things to distract you. Now, Baruch Hashem, we're all here, so it sounds like we're all people who are focused on spiritual growth, on Avodas Hashem. First of all, just being in this camp, especially being at a shir at this time, and after we already had the barbecue and another long speech, as great and inspiring as it was, to be here. So we're people clearly who are trying to focus on our Avodas Hashem and connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're trying to do that. And things distract us. And we have to make sure that we're mindful of, are these things that are distracting us, are these things that are healthy for Avodas Hashem? Because sometimes not learning, right, and not davening is also part of Avodas Hashem. Right? Of course, not talking about the chesed that we do throughout the day. I'm talking about things that are our downtime, things that are for our health, sleeping, exercising, hanging out with friends. These are all healthy things. But we have to just make sure we're mindful that, is this right now a healthy thing, or is this something that's distracting me? And often you can see from the next step, where does this lead to? That in this type of downtime, if it leads to me being involved in Lashon Hara, or breaking certain boundaries at Sneas that I'm actually not comfortable in general breaking, if this is going to lead me to not be able to wake up at what I think is an appropriate time to wake up the next day to accomplish whatever I need to at Avodas Hashem and davening and learning in my job, whatever it might be, so then you have to make sure that you stop it in its tracks. That you don't let the Yetzer Hara, because once the Yetzer Hara gets you a little bit, he gets you more and more. The Haraya is at the barbecue. I said, should I go to the barbecue? Okay, I'm going to go. Have a little bit. Razor called a blowout barbecue, so this has got to be good. There's got to be, something, ribs or something like that. So I'm going to go. I got there, and I said, okay, you know what? I'm just going to have one burger, no bun, and then And I said, okay, well, the buns are right there. Maybe I'll just one burger on a bun. That's all I'm going to have. I sat down. I washed. I had my burger with a bun. And I said, I already washed. I might as well have another. And then I had a second. And then I had a bunch of... Okay. So I had a bunch of fries. And I already ate a lot by dinner. And right, I gave in a little bit. And then the whole thing fell apart in the Yitzhahara. Got me in his clutches. I don't know if everyone, and it also struggle right now where I am in my avodas Hashem. I know that's a struggle that I'm working on. That's a struggle that I failed tonight. But I'm going to do better tomorrow. Thank you. And I was planning, and I know myself. Sometimes I have to say like, you know, very very clearly, and I have to tell somebody else to be my witness that I'm only going to have one burger without a bun, and that's going to be my barbecue for the night. But I didn't draw those lines in advance, and I slowly got sucked into eating much more than I wanted to do because it's hard to beat me tonight. It happens, and that's a relatively innocuous. It's meaningful for me because that's what I'm working on, but that's innocuous for many other people and many other things that are much more grave, much more severe, and especially when it comes to Gidrei Tznius and Lashon Hara, two examples I mentioned that are so easy to fall into, and especially here. There was a close staff, and we feel close to so many different people, and it's like this one big mishpacha, and it's an intense environment, and there's a lot of things going on. There's a lot of stress and drama, and co-counselors and campers and supervisors. People are working for us, and there's so many different pieces that it can sometimes breed some of these things. And we just have to be very very mindful not to fall into the traps. Not to fall into the traps of the Yitzhahara, because he starts off small, because he knows. Even when they were in the back room, and the woman was all dressed nicely, and they had a little bit of wine, and she said, I'm not going to do any Aveira with you until you worship this Avodah Zarah. They started saying, no, I'm not going to do it. We see where Klal Yisrael was holding. They were holding by, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do an Aveira. That's not who I am. We don't do that. The Lashon. Eini mishtachave, right? V'hu omer, l'avodas kochavim, eini mishtachave. They said, I don't do that. I don't do that. And then you read two lines later in the Midrash, and you do that. Right? So, even if things that are below us, and things that we don't do, but we can be seduced into doing them by the Yitzhahara, if we give in to the small ones. The small attacks and traps of the Yitzhahara, and he catches your finger, and he catches your hand, and he catches your whole body, and you're in. So it's important that we make every decision a good decision. Every time we have this challenge in front of us, to seize it and stop the Yitzhahara and seize it as an opportunity to cleanse ourselves, right? Going back to the Karon Shel Meraglayim, it should be a Karon Shel Mayim that we should see that the challenge that the Yitzhahara puts in front of us is really probably something that's the biggest tikkun of all. We think it's a small thing to just walk away from this one conversation that it shouldn't be a part of. We think it's a small thing, but it's actually the biggest thing. That's actually a Karon, and the question is, what are you going to fill it with? Are you filling it with Mayim or Meraglayim? Are you going to use this as an opportunity to cleanse yourself, or actually to dirty yourself further, because everything is a downward spiral and will lead you into a deeper, darker trap. So we should be zochet to take these lessons of the Midrash, these hidden treasures of the Midrash, and inspire a deeper, more meaningful growth level of Hashem, and take it with us for the rest of the summer and the rest of our lives.